Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 through 51. Let us hear God's word. Jesus has been talking about his second coming, and he says, beginning in verse 30, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and sign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you now asking for your Holy Spirit to illumine us to your word. There are things in your word that are difficult for us to understand, and so we ask for the help of the Spirit. The help of the Spirit in order to bring glory to Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. There is a day that's coming. A day that has been predicted and anticipated by the prophets, by the apostles, and by the pastors and teachers and ministers since the beginning of time. There's a day coming that's going to unveil the reason for all things. It's going to reveal the reason for the creation, the reason for time, the reason for space, the reason for all of history. And that day is when the Ancient of Days returns and establishes a new heaven and a new earth. It is the day that the kingdom of grace will give way to the kingdom of glory. You know, you're in a sound sleep, and then the alarm clock goes off and it kind of startles you. Such will be the day the revealing of the kingdom of glory. Paul says to the Thessalonians, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. The prophet Joel says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Though Joel's prophecy had its immediate fulfillment in Joel's day, yet the final fulfillment of Joel's prophecy will happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a great but terrible day that will be. The return of Christ will be great because sin will be erased. Sadness will be no more. Every tear shall be wiped dry. The saints will be changed from glory into glory until in heaven we take our place. But it will be a terrible day. A very terrible day for those outside the kingdom of God. Wicked men and devils will be thrown into the lake of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and where there will be no hope of escape. As a Boy Scout, we are taught to be prepared. I was a Boy Scout. Be prepared. That's the motto of the Boy Scouts. Sometimes we were prepared, sometimes we weren't. But there's one thing that we must always be prepared for, and be prepared without failure. And that is the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming of the kingdom of glory. In the best-selling book, Left Behind, there is a false hope that is given for those who were left behind. The message is that after the Christians are raptured and taken out of this world, there's going to be some time left for people to repent of their sins and put their faith in Christ while, you know, the tribulation is going on. But please understand that the book Left Behind is nothing more than science fiction. And it's really not even good science fiction. I much prefer Star Wars over Left Behind. It's not a theology book. Now, not all science fiction is bad theology. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that's science fiction, that's fantasy, but it has good theology to it. But the book Left Behind, the science fiction, is bad theology because it ain't going to happen that way. When Christ returns and the kingdom of glory is inaugurated, and the church is taken up to meet the returning Christ in the sky, the time for repentance is over. Those that are left are not going to go through a tribulation. They're not going to be given time to repent. They are going to be immediately thrown into the lake of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cars are not going to run off the road for lack of drivers. Planes are not going to fall from the sky for lack of pilots. No, this transition from the kingdom of grace to the kingdom of glory will happen instantaneously. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, he says, we will not all sleep, meaning we will not all die, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. No one is going to be left behind. Either you will be welcomed into the kingdom of glory, or you will be cast into hellfire. No time will be left for you to ponder what has happened. For both wicked and righteous will know exactly what has happened. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The righteous and the unrighteous, they will be bowing all at the same time, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. This kingdom of glory will be the end of history as we know it. The kingdom of glory where Christ reigns with his people in perfect holiness is the reason for the creation. It is the reason for time and space and history. So you must be ready. Are you prepared right now for the coming of the King? Are you prepared for the coming of the kingdom of glory? Jesus in chapter 24 of Matthew talks about his second coming and the coming of the kingdom of glory. And he also talks about our need to be ready and to be prepared to face him as King and Judge. He says in verse 36, "No one knows about that day or hour. Be on your guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping." Jesus uses two illustrations. He uses the illustration of a man who leaves his house and puts his house and all his possessions in charge of one of his servants. And then the servant is supposed to take care of the other servants and to do everything just as the master of the house has told him to do. If you're at work and your boss gives you some responsibilities and then says, "I'm going to go to lunch, and when I come back, I want this information given back to me," you don't say to yourself, "Well, you know, I think I'll go to lunch too. Or I'm going to take my break. I think I'm just going to clock out and go home." No, what do? You get ready. You get prepared. Also in our passage this morning, Jesus uses the illustration of a house owner keeping watch because there is a thief, there is a burglar in the neighborhood. Jesus says that if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. Paul says that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. Imagine that. Someone calls you on the phone and informs you that you're going to be the victim of a burglary. Someone is going to break into your house, hurt your family, steal your possessions. What are you going to do? Well, you may call the police. Some of us may sit at the front door with a gun. But I know one thing you're not going to do. You're not going to go to sleep. You're going to prepare. Are you prepared for the coming of the kingdom of God? Are you prepared or are you sleeping? We are not like King Hezekiah. You remember the story in the Old Testament, King Hezekiah. God told him, "You're going to die. I'm going to take your life from you. So put your house in order." King Hezekiah had been given a warning. He's getting ready to die. Put your house in order. Take care of the details. We don't have that. All we know is that one day we will die, or Christ will return while we're still alive. We're not like King Hezekiah in being given an exact day, an exact moment that your life will be required. Instead, we're like the people of Noah's day, the people of Lot's day. Jesus says they got up that morning, thought, things are going to happen like they usually happen. They were marrying. They were being given in marriage. There were business transactions going on. Kids were going to school. Mom and dad going to work. It's the way it always had been. But then a drop of water fell from the sky, followed by more and more and more. Or in Lot's day, a little ball of brimstone falls from the sky. Then more and more and more. For Noah, the earth disappears. It's flooded. For Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah are blown to pieces and no longer exist. That's the situation that we're in. We know that Christ will return, and we know that we're going to have to face the judgment. And we know that we are privileged to be shown the way of salvation, and that is through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. We must turn from our sins. We must repent of our sins and put our hope in Christ. We know that. We tell ourselves that. We read it in the good book. But it's one thing to know that judgment is coming, and it is quite another to be prepared for that judgment. It is one thing to have the great privilege of reading the Bible, of hearing the Bible preached. Those are great privileges. But let's don't confuse privilege with blessing. It is a privilege to have God's Word. It is a privilege to hear and even understand the warnings that God's Word gives to us. But it is a greater blessing to prepare for what God says is going to happen. And if there's one sin that causes us to be unprepared for the coming of the glory, King of glory, Kingdom of glory, it is just procrastination. It is the wasting of time. It is delay. I have heard people say, as I have talked to them about Christ and their need for Christ, oh, I'll take care of that in the future. You know, when I get older. Or when I take care of this. Or when I take care of that. Then I will get things straight with God. But then death comes swiftly, and they have not prepared. Death is a big surprise, because sometimes we're not expecting it, and it shows up on our front door. And procrastination, a delay in repentance, not being prepared, it hardens our heart towards the things of God. Just as concrete hardens with the passage of time, procrastination, delay, not being prepared, it hardens our heart to the things of God. This is what happened in Israel. God had sent the prophets to warn the people of Israel of the coming of the day of the Lord. That God was going to use the Babylonian army to discipline His people. And what was their response? Listen to what we hear in the prophet Isaiah. Let us eat and drink our fill, because tomorrow will be like every other day. I got a couple questions to ask you. I want you to examine to see if you're guilty of procrastination. I want you to examine yourself to see if you are guilty of not preparing for the coming of the kingdom of glory. Ask yourself this. Are there some things that you allow yourself to do and that you tell yourself that there's really nothing wrong with it, but that you would never dare to do if you knew that tomorrow you were going to die and face the judgment? Do you tell yourself that some things are okay, that they're not wrong, but if you knew that you were going to face the judge tomorrow, you wouldn't dare do it again? If that is you, then brothers and sisters, you're delaying repentance. You're procrastinating. You are not preparing for the kingdom of God. You know the story in the book of Acts about Ananias and Sapphira. Members of the church. Good business people. Okay? They would be people outwardly looking that you would want them to be part of your church. Great contributors to the community. They came before the apostles and lied to them. And immediately they fell down dead. God judged them. Right there. Boom. Sometimes Jesus Christ does that. But the reason we are given the story about Ananias and Sapphira is so that we would prepare for the coming of Judgment Day. We are given that story so that we would not procrastinate, we would not delay, that we would not lie to the Holy Spirit, but that we would do His will. Another question. Well, there's some things that you allow in your life that you know are sinful, but are there things that you allow in your life and you do so with the understanding of, oh, I'm going to repent of that later? I'll repent of it later. The Lord is full of grace and mercy and abounding in love. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. But sometimes it is our understanding of the graciousness of God that emboldens us to sin, because we convince ourselves that God will just ignore it. The people of Jerusalem were so convinced that the Lord was gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, that they used the understanding of God's long suffering as a license to continue in sin. Listen to the response here in Jeremiah. God says to the people through the prophet, will you steal and murder and commit adultery and perjury and burn incense to other gods and then come and stand before me in this temple which bears my name and say, we are safe? Do you do some things with the understanding that you will simply repent of it later? Do you think like this? If this be the case, you need to understand that your boasting in the love of God will not be recognized by God, because you were using the long suffering and the graciousness of God to continue in sin. A true understanding of the grace of God, of the love of God to sinners, leads us to repentance, a changing of the mind. It does not lead us to continue in sin. And lastly, are you careful to see that your grounds of hope for eternity, are they good grounds? Are you building upon the rock of Christ, or are you building upon the sinking sand of your own self-righteousness? If you had to cross a deep gorge and you had a heavy load and all you had was a rope, would you not make sure that the rope itself was strong, and that the rope was tied and wrapped around trees that were strong and that could support the load that you were carrying? Yes, you would. The load that you're carrying is your sin. The load that you are carrying is your sin. And only the rope of Jesus Christ can support you under such a load. Are you prepared for the coming of the King of Glory? Are you prepared? Or are you procrastinating? You don't know. But by the time I finish this sermon, your life may be required of you. It can happen just that fast. Are you prepared? Are you building upon the rock of Christ? Or are you building upon sinking sand? The sinking sand of your own self-righteousness. Therefore, let me in Christ's name renew the call of Christ to you. Watch as those who do not know what hour your Lord will return. Repent of your sins. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure that you have built your life upon Christ and nothing else, because everything else will be burnt up. And do not procrastinate. Do not wait until tomorrow. Do not wait until next week. My friend, do not even wait until this afternoon, because you don't know the day or the hour that you may have to give an account to God. Don't let God's grace and mercy be an excuse for delaying your repentance. Prepare to meet the King of Glory, and be prepared at this moment. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father,